You know, God knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how much you need, anytime that you need anything, you know. And, you know, it's kind of funny because they were talking about Zechariah back in Sunday school, and they brought up some scriptures that I'd taught on years ago. And I do happen to have, which I didn't even pay that much attention, but in my notes here, I do have Zechariah written down here. And it's Zechariah 4, 2, 3, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. And it starts off like this. Jah remembered. Zechariah means God remembered. Okay? And I got news for you. God always remembers what your need is. He always remembers what he's going to do. He never forgets you. He never comes up short in any situation. And with verse 2 it says, "And he said unto me, What do you see?" And I said, I see, behold, a lampstand, all of gold with its bowls. Now this is exactly what we were talking about back there. And I didn't even realize I had this in my notes this morning. But and it says, "And I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold with its gold for oil on top of it, and seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees, one by it on one side, the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side of the bowl, feeding it continuously with oil." In Zechariah 6, it says this, "Then he said unto me, The addition of the bowl to the candlestick causes it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree." And it says, "This is the word to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, to whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts." I can show you that's actually on my paper here today. And I didn't even think about it when we were talking about that back there. But Kathy brought it up, and she asked me about it. And we went. If you'd have listened to the Sunday school, you'll see that we basically went back and forth and preached a sermon on that thing before we were done. But anyway, you know, the power of prayer has never been tried to its full capacity in any church. If you want to see mighty works of divine power and grace wrought in a place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let the whole church answer God's standing challenge. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I'm telling you what, a lot of times we don't call on him as much as we should, that he would show us great and mighty things. And, you know, I think we have a tendency that we put a limitation on God, and we think, oh, if I can just go hear the certain preacher, you know, or this certain prophet or whatever it is, you know, they'll have the answer. Well, you know, the answer comes from God. He can speak to you directly. He can speak to you through somebody that don't even know him. You know, we were talking about last week about Isaiah chapter 45. And we were talking about Cyrus. And in that word back there, God spoke, and he basically said of Cyrus, he told Cyrus to let his people go so they could go back and rebuild the temple back there. And he told him, he called Cyrus his servant. He said, "Even though you have not known me, you're my anointed." And I got news for you. Sometimes he'll cause people to minister to you in some way, and they don't even know why they're doing it. And sometimes they don't even really know God. But you know what? God knows them, and that's all that really matters. You know, God has spoken once, and twice have I heard this, "Power belongeth unto God." You know, when we come to the place where we begin to understand that God's in control. You know, years ago when I first got saved, I started going through the Bible, and I think before I ever even came to church at the original church down in Elmwood, you know, I got saved at home. The Lord started dealing with me. I'd had a visitation when I was about 14 or so of the Lord, you know, where he actually showed me standing behind a pulpit, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, no, that ain't me. I ain't doing that. That was what was going through my mind when he showed me that. And I basically said to him, Lord, why can't I serve you? And it felt like he showed me all the things I was doing that were displeasing to him. And I didn't get saved. I was 14 then, and I didn't get saved. Actually, I was saved, I believe, but I hadn't committed my life to the Lord, because I think when Jesus died on Calvary, he saved my soul, whether I had experienced it yet or not, because, you know, he had forgiven all my sins and everything when he died on Calvary. But when I made that commitment to the Lord, I was about 21, you know, and we were married, and we had one little girl, and Margaret, was you pregnant with Mark at that time? I think you were. Yeah, she was. And, you know, the Lord started dealing with me pretty heavy, and I'd kind of ran from the Lord from the time I was about 14 when he was dealing with me. And I went about doing my merry thing, doing all the things that teenage boys do that they shouldn't be doing and all that kind of stuff. And by the time I got about 21, I got so miserable I couldn't hardly stand it. And I've told you all many a time how when I would ride with Mother, the Lord had healed me from having epilepsy when I was 9 years old till I was 12, she'd always tell me, son, someday God's going to require things of you. Don't get too entangled with the world. Well, I'd always think, oh, don't say that. I wish you wouldn't say that. Don't say that. And I was riding to work with her every day. And if you was around Mother very much, she would not necessarily quote you scriptures, but she'd talk about the Lord all the time and about the love of God and all the stuff. And I've told you all many a time, I'd sit in the car driving and I'd push over as close to the door as I could. And if I could have, I'd have jumped out the door to not have to hear it, you know. But I respected her and I would never say anything. But you know what? God knew exactly what he was doing. He was pouring a little water on me every day just about as we were riding back and forth to work. Well, when I did give my life to the Lord, you know, I told you he hid it from my mom, which he did. She was very perceptive. She had a real strong spirit of discernment, you know. If she told you, I don't think you should go out tonight or something, you know, if I was going to go out and play or something, if she told you that, it sure as the world, if you went out, you'd fall and break an arm or you'd do something. Or she just very perceptive spiritually. And when me and Margaret first got married, she'd call down the house. We'd be fussing, carrying on, not fighting, but fussing, you know, at each other. And she'd call and she'd say, what's going on down there? I was praying and the Lord brought you two before me. And she says, what's going on? I'd say, oh, nothing, Mother. Everything's fine down here. Well, I lie, you know. But you know what? God has a way of cutting through all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. He knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly. And with Mother, you know, for a long, long time, she was a friend, a confidant, somebody that I could talk to about the things of the Lord. And then there hit a point where the Lord kind of made it to where she wasn't available very much. You know, she had moved up to Blanchester because her job moved up there. And because she used to drive all the way from Western Hills to Blanchester every day to go to work. And I used to really worry about her because she had a little old Volkswagen. And whenever it rained or anything, the defroster wouldn't work, and the windows would fog up. And a few times she called me, and she was off to the side of the road where she had to pull over, and I'd have to go get her and bring her car. You know, bring her car. Margaret and me would go after her. I'd drive her car home, you know, and I went and got her a lot of different times. But you know how it is. God kind of put a separation there, and he put a separation there for a reason. Because I got news for you. God don't want you getting your eyes on nobody else, you know. And when Mother finally found out that I got saved back years ago, you know, I was up her house because we used to go a lot of times on Sunday for a dinner, and all the family would gather around, and we'd have dinner at her house. And we were sitting on the couch, and she says, "What's going on with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Something's going on with you." And I told her, I said, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord." And she says, "Wow." She says, "God hid that from me." She says, "Yeah, he absolutely hid that from me." And I said, "Well," she says, "and I know why." I said, "Why?" She said, "So I'd keep my hands off of it." And don't be surprised sometimes when you're praying for somebody else if God doesn't really let you know what's going on. And you know why? Because he wants you to keep your hands off of it and let him do the dealing and let him do what needs to be done to get that person to where they need to be. And, you know, she said, "I got one piece of advice from you," and I've shared this with you many, many times. And I said, "What's that?" She says, "Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you. Learn to know him for yourself." And, you know, it was the best piece of advice I ever got as a young Christian, because we have to know God for ourselves. But, you know, as far as God's power and his yielding to what you need, he knows what you need, when you need it, and he knows how to get it to you when you need it. And like I say, I've had people give me stuff over the years, and I almost tried to talk them out of it, you know. "Well, you know, brother, I don't really need, you know." And they'd say, "Or I'll do this for nothing. You don't have to give me no money," or nothing like that. And then they'd turn around and say, I want to do this and I want to do that." And I'd say, no, you don't have to do that." And then finally they'd come out and say, "Man, I'm trying to bless you. God told me to bless you. I'm trying to bless you." And, you know, sometimes you can actually hurt somebody else by not allowing God to bless you when something's going on. But, you know, I just want you to know, if we'll just trust him, he has us in the palm of his hand. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. No situation can pluck you out of his hand if you'll just but trust him. You know, there was a visitor, and he was once walking along on the shore of the Dead Sea. And he had lost his balance, and he fell into the water, you know. And I don't know if you know about the Dead Sea over in the Middle East. It's so salt rich that it's just got tons of salt in it, you know. And he fell into the water, and he didn't know how to swim. And in desperation, lest he sink and be drowned, he began to flail his arms around. And after a while, he got exhausted, where he just couldn't fight it no more. And when he did that, he found out something that he had not known. The water caused him to float. He couldn't sink even if he tried. He couldn't sink because the water was so thick with salt and stuff that he'd float. And you see, the water of the Dead Sea is so heavy with salt and other minerals that when he lay still, he found that he floated on the surface. He could not drown as long as he resigned himself to the power of the deep. In other words, as long as he relaxed and just let it go. And, you know, that's the way it is with God. A lot of times we do a lot of struggling, a lot of frailing around and trying to make something happen and worrying about this and worrying about that and all that. And all he's really saying to us most of the time, relax. Back off. Don't worry about it. I got you. And if I got you, nobody else can get you. You know what I mean? And no matter what situation you get in, I'm there with you. And as long as I'm there with you, I'll keep you in whatever situation you're in. You know, I read this thing one time in this book. It was called I'm trying to think of the name of the book. It was called God's Fanatics, I think is what was the name of it. God's Fanatics, I believe that was the name of it. And it had these different stories in there. And it had this story of this Chinese woman over in China who was a Christian, and she was all out witnessing for God. And they arrested her numerous times, you know, and I guess they fined her and got on her different times about out there witnessing for God. And this was many years ago. And finally, they got fed up with her, and they throwed her in prison. And they put her in this cell where apparently there was no, I guess there was no windows or anything. And in the wintertime, it was as freezing cold. And she said she couldn't lay down because if she laid down, you know, everything was so cold, the ground was so cold and all that stuff, that she would just freeze to death. And she said, so what she did is she said she would stand up and take her head and lean her head against the wall. And the only thing that would touch the wall was just the top of her head. You know, because if her body touched it, it would just suck all the heat out of her body. And she said that when she did that, she would just pray and begin to pray and pray. And she says, and as she would pray, it was just like she would get enveloped with warmth. And she said she never really got cold when she would do that. It was like God's presence just so surrounded her and just like enveloped her in his love. And she said that after a while, they released her, you know, and I guess they were expecting her to die in prison, and she didn't die. And they released her, and she went back out preaching the gospel. And you know what? God's with you no matter what's going on. He's the power. He's the authority. Nobody else. We a lot of times we look at the things around us and we believe, oh, bless God, that's the authority over there, or that's the authority. God's the authority. He's the only authority. And I don't care what people try to do to you, they can do nothing to you unless God allows it. And if he allows it and you trust him in the middle of it, he'll cause you to walk through it victoriously. You know, truth will endure through all generations. So speak the word only. Whatever things are lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things and speak these things into your life. And you'll find that you're eating of the fruit of life when you do that. You know, we can always grumble and complain and mumble around. And if we do that, we just find ourselves sinking lower and lower and lower. But if we'll learn to praise God in the middle of whatever situation we're going through, we'll find out that he'll lift us up right in the middle of that situation. You know, I've shared this poem many, many times, and it's been used by many people, and I've always kind of waited to hear it coming back at me somewhere from wherever it's traveled to. But years ago, the Lord had given me the poem about struggle, you know, and the way it went was like this: why do you struggle and why do you fret when all that you accomplish is to get upset? When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Truly to praise me in all these things, for my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I will give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And I want you to know God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us all. And all we can do is cooperate with the plan. Now, when you try to not cooperate with the plan, the plan changes a little bit and it gets a little rougher. Because instead of you walking in victory sometimes, you walk in defeat. But it's not because he put you in defeat, it's because you didn't acknowledge him in all your ways and your paths weren't directed, or at least you felt like they weren't directed. And sometimes The direction of the path that he leads you in is like Daniel, where you don't compromise yourself in a situation and you get thrown in the lion's den. But guess what? God has the ability to shut the mouths of the lions. He has the ability to make even your enemies be at peace with you, what you figure to be your enemies. But I want you to know that we serve a mighty God, and that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, he loves you, he has his hand on you, and no man can snatch you out of his hand. And as long as you know that, you can walk with a confidence and an assurance that he's got you under his hand. And boy, that's a great place to be. Praise God. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of these things. And Proverbs says this too, and I want you to realize when you say negative things concerning yourself or concerning other situations. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, you can speak life into a situation or you can speak death into a situation. It's up to you. And if you speak life, then you know what? God will honor that life. But if you speak negatively, it brings a situation of death. And the death might be to your attitudes, to your motivations, and everything else. But I want you to know that he wants you to speak positively. He wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. And he wants you to be a praiser and not a grumbler. And that's not easy to do sometimes, because sometimes you feel like grumbling. But I want you to know there's a scripture that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless. The sons of God amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, you know. And then he also said to us, you're the light of the world. And you know, he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. And you know, when we allow his light, I love that little song we learned to sing in Sunday school when we were little kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And you know what? When you let that little light of yours shine, it lightens somebody else's darkness. It gives them the ability to see where they're going. And it changes their life. You know, he's our joy, he's our life, and he's our light. You know, Alexander the Great, I think I told you this story once before, but Alexander the Great, as a young boy, his father purchased a spirited horse. And the best of the king's horsemen could not manage this animal. Finally, young Alexander took charge of the horse and managed him easily. And he was asked to explain his power, and he said, I noted that the horse was afraid of his own shadow. When I kept his face towards the sun, he was unafraid. Christians become frightened at the shadows because they look away from the light. If you find yourself being fearful about something or struggling really super bad, maybe it's because at that particular time you're not looking to the light. And you need to look to the light. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. We are kept, when we keep our focus on the Lord, we will find peace by doing so. James 1:17 says this, and I'm going to close with this. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow in turning. Praise God. Praise God. You know, as we sometimes we look at the situations that's going on in the world today, and sometimes you say, well, man, there's a lot of darkness out there. But you know what we're supposed to be? The light in the midst of the darkness. And if we be the light in the midst of the darkness, a lot of people are going to be drawn to that light. And when they're drawn to that light, their lives will be changed. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And, you know, I've kind of rambled up here a little bit today, but that's okay. I've talked to you about the power of God, and I've talked to you about the light of God. And you are that light, and you also are that power if you allow yourself to be the transformer whom God flows through. So if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that you're the light that lights every man. And I love that it says every man. It doesn't say just Christians, but it says every man that comes into the world. And Father, even though sometimes it seems like some people love the darkness, I want you to know that that light is down inside of them. And I ask you, Father, to help us be the ones that help call it to come forth, that that true light of God might begin to shine in their lives. I thank you for your words. They are truly spirit and life. I ask you to bless your people. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go and have a wonderful week.